It's the Go Gopher Podcast with Mike Grimm, episode number 62. I am Mike Grimm, voice of the Golden Gophers, and welcome back to our podcast. Today, we're talking Gopher women's hockey and the state of hockey. It's our pleasure to welcome to the podcast today, Golden Gopher star goaltender Skylar Vetter of Lakeville, who's helped Minnesota into this weekend's Frozen Four in Duluth. The Gophers will play rival Wisconsin in one national semifinal game. It's Friday night at 6 o'clock. If they win on Friday, the Gophers would go for the national championship on Sunday. Skylar has a great story to tell, and I promise you'll enjoy hearing from her on our Go Gopher Podcast, episode number 62. The Go Gopher Podcast is presented by alumni-owned Sunbelt Business Advisors and True North Mergers and Acquisitions. If you're a business founder planning to exit your business, you should start by contacting Sunbelt Business Advisors and True North Mergers and Acquisitions. Sunbelt serves more businesses up to $5 million in revenue than anyone, and True North M&A serves companies with revenues up to $150 million. Get a confidential, no-cost, no-obligation business valuation started today. Hey, you want to make the most of your life's work? Then visit sunbeltminnesota.com or tnma.com today, and we're thankful that they're sponsoring our Go Gopher Podcast and supporting Golden Gopher Athletics. We're also glad to have Affinity Plus Federal Credit Union with us here on the Go Gopher Podcast. Affinity Plus has been a longtime Gopher supporter and also a major backer of Special Olympics Minnesota, and the Polar Plunges are continuing. Affinity Plus is your local credit union throughout the state of Minnesota. You can find out more at affinityplus.org/gogophers. Our podcast is also sponsored by State Farm agent Tony Hoagland at ChamplinInsurance.com. Tony's a big-time Gopher hockey fan. We are podcasting episode 62 from the Aquarius Home Services studio. One other quick note, if you're a restaurant or a business who would like to have our podcast broadcast live from your venue and are interested in partnering with us, please contact the great folks at Talk North. We'd love to be on location on a regular basis. TalkNorth.com is where you go. Find Karen Cleary for details. We invite you to subscribe to the Go Gopher Podcast as well. You can go back and listen to the Go Gopher Podcast. Last week, for example, we talked with Skylar's teammate Taylor Heise, as well as Affinity Plus CEO Dave Larson. He took a polar plunge earlier this month. You'll love last week's episode, I promise. Go back and listen. I'd invite you, as mentioned, to subscribe to the Go Gopher Podcast. That is free. You can listen at any time. That, too, is free. This week, it's episode 62 of the Go Gopher Podcast, and we're talking Golden Gopher hockey with goaltender Skylar Vetter, who will join us next.
I'm Clay Geary, walk-on turn scholarship wide receiver for Gopher football.
And I'm Ben Utek, U of M alumni, Super Bowl champion, and Tony Dungy Uncommon Award winner. We understand championship culture, which is why we're part of the True North family of companies.
True North invests in only elite teams, like the champion team at Sunbelt Business Advisors. With more brokers, buyers, and offers, Sunbelt gets owners 15% more than the market average.
Learn more about this True North company at sunbeltminnesota.com.
Hi, Gopher fans. This is your State Farm agent, Tony Hoagland. Here's the deal. When you combine State Farm home and auto insurance, you save an average of $889 a year. My agency is ready to help you combine home and auto and start saving today. Call 763-421-4900 to start saving. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
It's episode number 62, the Go Gopher Podcast, and we're talking Golden Gopher women's hockey. The Frozen Four approaching. Duluth, Minnesota is the site. Amsoil Arena, Minnesota and Wisconsin on Friday at 6 o'clock. The Gophers win that. They'll play for the national championship on Sunday. It's our pleasure to welcome to the podcast for episode 62, the Golden Gopher goaltender for Gopher women's hockey, Skylar Vetter of Lakeville, Minnesota. Skylar, good to see you.
Yeah, it's good to see you too.
Well, how much fun are you guys having right now through this run of this postseason, winning the WCHA trophy, winning that first round game in the NCAA, and now getting ready for the Frozen Four?
Yeah, it's been so much fun. We've put in the work all year, and it's an amazing feeling when you know you're going out to play and everyone's super prepared and excited and ready to go.
What is the difference or the balancing act you have from having fun, but also knowing that there's a pressure of important games, which you guys have been in many now here in the light. When you go back to even that regular season stretch where you had Ohio State, Wisconsin, and Duluth all in a row, All those were meaningful to enjoy it, but also to know that there's some pressure that comes along with it.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of pressure, but at least the way I look at it is like the fun comes from winning and being successful. And like you obviously have to put in the work during the game and then you can have fun afterwards type of thing. So yeah, a game of hockey is fun and all, but I feel like once you get to this level, it's like when you win, it's more fun. So that the outcomes.
Yeah, always more fun to win for sure. And I would guess for you guys, it was awfully fun to beat Duluth last weekend as well for a number of reasons. Obviously, whenever you beat a rival, it's good. But, you know, last year they kind of ended your season in this game that it was weird. All of a sudden, I know even Brad Frost was talking, recalling that game that everyone was kind of looking around like that really happened, almost in disbelief. And to kind of avenge it, to get that and to secure the berth to move on to the Frozen Four, what was that like as well?
Always a great feeling. You know, the entire game, everyone was playing so well. And like you said, last year, like we kind of like went in and we were like, okay, like we got Duluth, like it'll be fine, we'll win. And then 60 minutes went by and everyone is like, well, like, what just happened? Like, no, it went by so fast. And it was just, it was more of a weird feeling that we lost. And this year, you know, we had a lot of returners. And we were just like, yeah, like we're not going to lose. Like we worked so hard and we know how it feels on the other end of it that we just were like, that's not going to happen this year. So, but yeah, it was a lot last year.
It seems like this team is certainly playing with a lot of confidence right now as well on both ends of the rink. Can you talk me through the confidence level first that you have in net and then two that maybe you see on the ice with your teammates?
Yeah, with me personally, I don't know. I go out there and I know I can stop the puck. I know I can play well. So it's just might as well just go and do it. Like it's like, I don't know, like there's pressure. I like pressure, but at the same time, I don't really realize it. So I don't know if that's like where my confidence comes from is just because it's like, oh, I'm just going to go play hockey today. But definitely our team and the confidence that we have right now, I think it's also like we're all trusting each other more right now, which is the biggest thing in playoffs. Like you can go trust your forwards to go score and then you can go trust your D to, you know, make great plays on top of it. And then once you work together, like we always say, like on the same sheet of music, like once you're all together and you all trust each other and all working together, it kind of just, it works. Like, it's magic.
Last week on our podcast, we had your teammate Taylor Heise on, and she talked about that this team has been confident all year, but maybe late in the year, everyone kind of also started to realize that it was getting real. Like, okay, here we go, and there were block shots from the defense, and there were different things, particularly in that Ohio State game and in the championship game. And then I thought last week you guys tilted the ice to the point where you had to be lonely a few times down on your end of the rink because I thought it was a pretty controlling effort. In hockey, you never know, right? One bad bounce and who knows. But I thought, you know, those were pretty good, really, when you count the Wisconsin game, two, three straight games where you guys were doing maybe that extra thing is what Taylor Heise mentioned last week. Would you agree?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I can, you know, our season is the longest season on campus. It goes over both semesters, pretty much the entire year almost. And I feel like when you get into that, just like, oh, every day you play Friday, Saturday, it's just kind of like a routine. And we kind of got maybe lost in it, like, oh, just every day, it's the same thing. And then, you know, a couple of weeks ago, we go, wait, we only have a few weeks left. And then it's like playoffs and it's a big deal. So I think, you know, like a couple of weeks ago, we were all just like, you know what, like kind of break the routine a little bit. Step it up another notch, and then we've been just playing great since.
And now you have the Frozen Four berth. Obviously, there's still work to do, but I would guess when you were going through, you know, your choices of where to go to college and all those things, that the idea of you know, the dream of playing in a Frozen Four was part of whatever was going into it. So what's that feeling like to have that part of it secured?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's an amazing feeling. When I was going through the recruiting process, you know, I only looked into schools that had a chance at like winning a national championship within like the next, like I think I was like 9 years out. And definitely like the goal for me in my career was to win a national championship. So now knowing that we're one step closer and we're into the Frozen Four, it's an amazing feeling to know that like I picked the right place and everything's kind of lining up together.
What was it like too in that game Saturday? And look, I was just sitting in the stands. I was just, you know, Rube, you know, with my gopher hat on cheering and watching. But when you guys, I thought, again, my observation was that you guys were pretty well controlling that game. What's it like as a goaltender then knowing that, you know, you won you're not seeing a lot for a while of that game on your end, but two, knowing also, and I suppose this is a nightly thing, that you don't want to, you know, let a bad one in and all of a sudden a 0-0 game, even though you've dominated, as one zip. Or how is a goaltender, because that has to be such a strange or a different mindset than a lot of different positions in all of sports, I would think.
Yeah, it's definitely different. You have to stay really consistent and kind of like have the same mindset the entire time. Like, you can't get too like emotionally high or too emotionally low, because that's when those goals happen. Either like it's a good quality goal, or like a lot of times this season, like I've scored on myself, or like our team has scored on ourselves to get us into those weird situations. So I don't know, at least last weekend, I kind of just told myself, especially once we got up, like I think it was 2 goals. I was like, okay, like I can stop. Like I can just keep playing, like do your job is kind of what I always tell myself. Like, don't overdo it. Just like stay calm, you know, stay in the same mental state, and then it all kind of works out. I kind of try to show as little emotion as I can throughout the game and kind of just play and let it play out. And I don't know, that's just what I've been doing. It kind of works, so I might just keep it going.
Yeah, and also, like, I'm curious what your routine might be heading into a game, because it is a little different as a goaltender. I maybe would liken it to, like, a starting pitcher on a Major League Baseball team that you have to count on other people, but it's really your game, right? And pitchers, and I've covered Major League clubhouses where there's some starting pitchers, like, you know, we're not even going to go even make eye contact with the guy because he's in a deal, and then others are very laid back. What is your approach to get ready for a game?
I'm definitely the more type where I kind of like to isolate myself a little bit. Like you said, like, it doesn't matter how good your team plays. If your goalie's not there, you're going to lose the game. So it is definitely a very, you know, pressure filled and stressful position. But I don't know. I like to kind of, even like after we have team meal, we usually have like 2 hours before we get to the rink, and I just sit in my bed and lay down and like isolate myself. And like, I'm roommates with all like forwards and one defenseman. Then like I can hear them downstairs, and they're just like normal hanging out, like whatever. And for me, I'm just like sitting here like until I have to leave. And then even when I get to the rink, I kind of try to keep to myself more. And I just go and I just like sit in the training room, and like, I don't do much. It's a very mental position too. So it's like, I kind of have to be on my own by myself for like majority of the time before the game.
Is it, do you meditate or visualize? Do you have earbuds with music, or is it not any of that?
It's not any of that. I like to try to like not think about anything, kind of just, you know, like before the game, when I get to the rink, I'll just probably just go on my phone and lay down, try to nap. And then once I get to the rink, I try not to think about anything and just kind of let the game come to me almost.
Well, you've had a great season. Obviously, your shutout against Duluth on Saturday was, if I'm looking at this right, 7 shutouts now on a season in a league that is so good in the WCHA, 1.82 goals against, 3-time goaltender of the month in the conference, 6-time goaltender of the week. And then after all that, 3rd-team all-conference. There's some good goaltenders in the WCHA, too. But I wonder also, do you take some of that part of it, though, personally, too, when you look at all the numbers and then, 3rd-team all-conference, which is a great honor, right? But, you're amongst the leaders.
Yeah, it definitely is a little bit frustrating, too, because I know there was a stretch, I think we lost 2 games in February, and I think that's when I slipped a little bit on the list. Definitely was trying to get first team, definitely was trying to get the best stats. And Emma Soderberg on Duluth ended up getting that. And so it was a great feeling to know that I shut that team out and ended their season last week. But yeah, I don't know. All those honors are great and all, but at the end of the day, like, all that matters is that we'll have a national championship at the end of the week.
And as you got rolling in the season with all those honors and all those awards and all those shutouts, and even in talking to Taylor Heisey last week on the podcast, it just sounded like as you got going, your teammates also just like, yeah, okay, we're good there. We don't have to worry about what's happening behind us. We do our job, almost as if you were talking about earlier, you're doing your job, that they have pretty much ultimate confidence in what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely something, because as a freshman, we had 3 goalies last year who played like consistent minutes. So I think that's like a big difference from last year. It was like pretty much a new goalie every game, and we rotated through. So that consistent level kind of wasn't there last year. So I think for all the skaters, like knowing that it's like the same person there pretty much every time, and that they know how I play, because every goalie plays different. And it's just, they kind of, it's that trust factor again, that at the end of the year is the biggest thing rolling into playoffs.
And from that standpoint as well, do you, I mean, it must help once you get to play in many games in a row, right? Do you find a rhythm as opposed to having to alternate through as you did maybe your first season?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely, it's a lot. The routine you have becomes way easier to get into than when you're like a backup one day, a third string the next day, starting the next day. Like it's very hard. And especially for me, like I grew up playing boys hockey at Lakeville North, and my junior year, I was like the backup. I only had a few games. And then my senior year was COVID. So everything we played, but like we got to show up to the ring like 15 minutes early, had like a half a season. And then coming into college, we rotated three goalies. So this was like my first real full season since like my sophomore year of high school. So in the beginning of the season, that was definitely the most challenging thing for me, was to be like, wait, I have to play two games every single week for like 5 months. So that was probably the biggest thing, is like, okay, this is my first real season. I really have to work on conditioning, the mental part of it. And it was choppy and up and down for a little bit. I know November was a little tough for me, because that's when it really set in that like, okay, I'm going to probably play every game. So it definitely did take a little bit, but as soon as my routine kind of came back, it was just like easy to get down again.
What is your routine from that standpoint? You mentioned conditioning now, every game you're in. What does that involve for a goaltender to make sure that you're in, you know, physical shape, you know, to play two games every weekend?
We have like regular team practices, and depends. Sometimes we have Mondays off, so maybe like I'll go personally and I'll skate on my own, doing my own like goalie movements and crease stuff Monday, or I'll take the day off. It depends how my body feels. But then after that, throughout practice, I have to really manage how many shots I take in practice, because like I can, like physically I can take probably as many as I want, but to be able to last from like Monday to Saturday, you have to really be able to like manage, like, okay, if I take every single shot right now, like by Saturday, I'm probably not going to be at my best. So it's managing what I take in practice, what drills I take a lot of shots in practice. And then it also goes into off ice lifting in our training. And we don't really do heavy lifts that most teams do. We do very hockey specific, like mobility type stuff. And our weight and strength and conditioning coaches came up with this new workout. They call it like the Russian workout, because that's like where it started. And it is goalie specific, and it's like ISO holds. So you're like holding whatever position and stuff for a certain amount of time. And that's something that I just started like at the end of the summer and through the year. I ended up starting to do that like once a week before games, because like your goalie position, you're like basically holding a half squat like the entire game.
Yeah.
So that's like another thing that I had to like get adjusted to like doing to get that feeling in right before games.
Yeah, I was wondering too if, whether it's lifting or running or what have you, I would think that some of the muscle groups that you as a goalie might want to work on might be totally different than someone who wants to maybe increase speed as a skater, as a forward, or strength as a defense, a defender or something. So you kind of answered it a little bit there. Plus the flexibility part, right? For you, you're contorting and moving and trying to do all this in a split second or less than a split second. So I suppose your routine is different than what Taylor Heisey, for example, who we talked to last week, might be from a weightlifting standpoint and a conditioning standpoint.
Yeah, it's completely different. Like the stuff we do in the gym, like I still do like the skater workouts whenever we have like team stuff. But then like I go off on like extra workouts and do my personal goalie stuff. And like in the summer, like you get to pick what you do. So it's a little different. But that's definitely something I talked to my strength and conditioning coach this summer. I was like, your workouts are great. Like they're obviously helping the skaters, but like my sprints don't matter.
Right.
You know, so I was like, this is great and all. And they're doing like, I'm not trying to like diss you or anything. Like your workouts are fantastic. But like as a goalie, I need different movements and I need different holds and, you know, rotating more. And that's something where he has a bunch of interns too. And one of the interns like became really like excited and had so much fun looking into the goaltending position and all the stuff that he goes like, wow, like you guys move completely different. And like all the muscle groups that you use are completely different. So he had so much fun researching and coming up with all these separate goalie workouts that we now have, which I don't think they've had that in the years past. So it was really fun to come up.
Yeah, that's great. And then just the idea, like you mentioned, you know, in the different positioning you're in, you know, probably doing the splits to make a save or moving your arms quickly or what have you. And then, as you mentioned, you're kind of in a crouch much of the way as well. So it is a, you know, you're not skating up and down the rink, but it is a workout going through three periods of hockey in a game, I would think.
Mm-hmm. It is like, it's crazy to think like we have our little heart rate monitors too that we wear, and like I'm burning like more calories than the skaters do, because in a way like goaltending is more kind of like weightlifting and like moving your body up and down, where they're like just like basically running the whole time. So it's funny to see, like, it doesn't look like I'm doing much, but at the end of the day, like, I work just as hard and sometimes even harder than they do.
Yeah, for sure. All right, I got to ask you this question, because I saw on the selection show, they were talking about, you know, hey, here's this team. All right, the Gophers are in. And then they made reference to, I don't remember exactly how it was worded, and I don't remember exactly which one of the panelists said it, but the Gophers are strong, this, that. Maybe shaky goaltending, I think, was something like that, and I'm sure you saw it. My question is, I just rattled off all of what I rattled off about 10 minutes ago, 7 shutouts, 1.82 goal against, you know, player of the month 3 times, player of the week 7 times, all that stuff. Where do they find shaky goaltending as a problem for the Gophers? And does that serve as a motivator for you a little bit?
Yeah, that was definitely interesting, because said it last minute too in the selection show, and that was like, you know, the night before, like, we beat Ohio State 3-1 and I had a 97 save percentage, and I was just like, did she really just say that? Like, I was so confused. I was like not shaky, like, at anything you could just say like normal, like, it's like so it was like, it was a little, and I was very motivating, honestly. Like, I was like, that's not, like, throughout the whole year, like, beat Ohio State 3 times, you know, like, just won the conference championship. My stats are good. I have 2 assists on the year too. And like, you know, it's just, it was very insulting. It was. And then she made a little snipe at the same time too, about like just like defense as a whole. And we were just like, okay, really? Like, it was very, everyone thought it was unnecessary. It was insulting. And me personally, other than the pairwise, like, I think they just wanted an excuse to put Ohio State ahead of us. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like, the announcers had to like come up with stuff and say stuff. So it was definitely a motivating factor for me going into Duluth. And obviously, I guess it paid off. So thanks, Kendall Coyne, for saying that.
Is that who it was? Yeah, I couldn't remember. I couldn't remember who it was. So there you go. You've got you've got a little chip on the shoulder already. And now that added to it for sure. Now, and here it is, Wisconsin again, right, for the 6th time this season. Which, you know, 3 teams out of the WCHA and the Frozen 4 out of the 4 teams, which tells you that you guys have to feel totally battle tested, as do the others, I'm sure, right? All those teams have had success 100%, that's for sure. What do you think of going against the Badgers again here for time number 6 now?
Oh, it's going to be so much fun, I think, especially, like, it's, you know, pretty much the biggest rivalry in women's college hockey, and it being in the Frozen 4 just makes it 10 times better. And we've seen each other so much. Like, at this point, like, we know how to play against each other. Just because when you play someone so many times, you know all their tendencies and stuff. But I definitely do think that we're very well prepared, and it's going to be a great game.
How big was it, do you think, for you guys all as a team to get the win in the semis of the WCHA against Wisconsin? And pretty much controlled that game, it seemed, as well.
Yeah, I think that was definitely another turning point that we had in the year. We, the 4 games before against Wisconsin, we had the worst puck luck possible. Like, we tied them and went to shootout with them twice, and then we lost twice. And it was just, we were just like, we're not going to let them win again at this point. Like, we're ready. Like, it's been a roller coaster of, you know, series with them. So I think it was just, we weren't going to lose to them again. And being able to win in the semis too, I think that that was a huge just confidence into the next day, because the week before Wisconsin did beat Ohio State in overtime. So it was like, okay, like we're fine. It was a great feeling.
And what's a little bit, without giving away too much of any kind of a game plan, but what's a scouting report on Wisconsin for you as a goalie? What do you have to pay attention to especially?
They're very good at their shots, and their shot placement's very good. Definitely their rushes, I would say. They like to have, you know, the 2-on-1 and then their D joins to make it a 3-on-1 or a 3-on-2, and watching that high slot person. But honestly, at the end of the day, like I personally don't like to look too much into game plans, and I kind of just let myself play and figure it out as I go. But there are always some key things you have to run into and look at.
When did you figure out that you were pretty good at goaltending? When did you first put skates on, and then when did it become, okay, maybe I won't be a skater per se, but I'm going to be in net. How did that all come about for you?
Yeah, so my older two sisters played hockey, so I kind of just started playing because they did. And it was like second day. I think I was in like first grade or something. It was second grade, and it was like the second day of U8s. And I was like, I don't like the equipment, like the skater equipment. I hated the helmet. It like hurt the sides of my head. Like I didn't like it at all. So then like I did that. It was at the time where you like passed the goalie year around, but I was like second day, I tried it, loved it. And I basically was the goalie for the rest of the time. And it was so much fun. And then when I was like in third or fourth grade in the summer, the boys team had like a summer team and like they need another goalie. So they like asked my dad, cause he knew the other families, and they're like, yeah, sure. So I started playing with them in the summer. And then all of a sudden I just transitioned to playing with them year round, and I ended up playing with the same group of kids through my senior year of high school. So I never really felt like, oh, like I'm really good, because I was always playing with boys. So I was kind of always like winning games, playing well, like getting a lot of shots too, because yeah, my team wasn't always the strongest. But I always just like tried to stick with them, tried to play with them. And I think what helped was like being a girl playing with boys, like you can't just be better than them like a little bit, because they'll still kind of want to take the boy over you. Like you have to like be obviously better than them. And that's kind of like what my parents told me growing up. So I just worked so hard just to make it known that like, I can stick with them. And then I think as soon as I got to like middle school or something, like something changed, and I kept accelerating. And it was so much fun, because that group of kids, like, they're my best friends. Like, I've grown up with them forever. And, like, it was so much fun that they were so accepting, too. So I think it kind of, like, the mentality was, like, they're so accepting. They're my best friends. Like, I'm just going to keep working hard. And at the same time, it was so much fun.
Yeah.
So that was kind of, like, what I went through. And then, I don't know, I'd play girls hockey in the summer, and then I'd come back and be like, oh, this is kind of easier. So then I would just, you know, play really well then. And that's kind of like when I started catching eyes. But I don't know. I think it was just, you know, like playing boys hockey really pushed me forward.
Yeah, I was going to ask, because it's not a totally, I mean, there have been other women who have come up playing boys hockey, but it doesn't happen a lot. So it is a bit of a unique path. How do you think it helped shape you in terms of maybe your mentality? And as you mentioned, maybe a chip on the shoulder to always have to be a little bit better, you know, to mm-hmm. continue to make teams and to move on and all of that.
It definitely, like, thinking back on it now, like, my mental game and, like, how I think and function is totally different because I played boys hockey. Because, like you said, like, I always had to be, like, so much better than the person next to me, that I've always been super competitive, and I internalize so much where, like, I feel like a lot of times, and even on my team, you see them so competitive, but you can tell that they're, like, fighting each other for, like, being competitive, where I'm, like, I'm fighting myself almost. And I think that really came together with the boys program. Like the boys are always, they're not meaner, but they, you know, make fun of people. They chirp people. They, you know, they're, it's funny, but at the same time, they try to like be a little mean to everyone they go by. So I think that definitely also made me very mentally strong. Like I knew they weren't actually being mean to me or like any of my teammates, but it's something that coming into the girls program too. It was a little different to deal with because like none of the girls are really like that. So I definitely remember like my first summer here, like I was acting and like saying stuff that I'd do to my boys team. And some of the girls were getting like, they thought I was actually being mean to them. And I was like, wait, no, like I'm not. So that's definitely a different mentality that I gained from the boys program. And it was just so, like looking back on it now, like if I didn't play with them, I definitely would not be the person that I am today.
It sounds almost too like it wasn't as if like, okay, you're pretty good at this. Let's have you play with the boys because that we want you to go on and be a scholarship player. It almost sounded like it just was a natural, okay, all right, I'm going to have a shot here. And yeah, I'm on this team. And the next thing you know, it's a next year and another year. Am I accurate mm-hmm. with that, do you think?
That's exactly what happened. So I literally just jumped on. It was supposed to be just for like a weekend filling in. And then like I played really well. So like they just kept like asking me to come back and play with them. So I was like, because in the summer, like you resubmit like your roster to each individual tournament type of thing every weekend. So they're just like, oh, you want to play again? And then all of a sudden it was like every summer I'd play with them. And then once I got into like fifth grade, the parents were like kind of like begging my parents to sign me up for like their winter team. So then, you know, after fifth grade, I was like, yeah, I'll just play boys hockey from here on out. Like, it's fun. Like, I'm friends with them and it just makes me better. So I was like, why not?
Yeah. And the rest, I guess, as they say, is history. You mentioned that sometimes the other team might say something. Do you think it was that they would just say something to whoever the goalie was? Or do you think there were times where there was intent like, OK, there's a girl in goal. We're going to give her a hard time.
I think definitely like at the younger ages, like it was, oh, yeah, there's a girl here because I was still new. And then once I like, cause you play against the same kids in Minnesota, like yeah. In your conference every year, like every month basically. And once like they were like, oh, she's here again. Like you know each other from city to city. So it became a little bit less, but definitely in the beginning it was, oh, she's a girl. But that also, it also helped me playing boys cause I never had to like defend myself or anything. Like they'd say stuff to me or they'd like touch me after the whistle. And I had like all five of my teammates go beating up dead, and I could just sit there and watch. So I definitely think that also helped me going into college too. Like girls chirp each other on the ice too, like against their opponents, and no one does that to me. And I think it's because like I've learned just to like be quiet and just like watch them and like skate away, and then it kind of makes them even more mad. So I don't know, I think it's just funny how everything winds up together.
So if you're playing, you know, high level high school hockey, you know, and in the South Metro, there's a lot of good teams, and I'm sure you're playing some of those West Metro teams that are good. And I'm guessing at some point you played against high school players who eventually ended up in the Big Ten or the NCHC or what have you. So who were some of the boys that you played against in high school that could bring a slap shot and you knew you had to, you know, you had to be on your game if you wanted to keep your team in it?
There were definitely a lot. My freshman year, I was still technically in Bantams, but I actually played against Brock Faber and that whole Maple Grove team, which if anyone knows anything about that class, they're everywhere now. A lot of them went to NTDP. Half of them are playing Division I at least. And that was a great team. Oh gosh, I don't even remember the name now. A lot of the guys I played with are still in juniors technically.
Sure.
So they're not quite here yet. I played against Luke Lewandowski from Rosemont, who was at the time committed to Wisconsin. I'm not sure where he's going now, but always like the fastest kid on the ice. Like that was one, and we'd play him every year. It was in our conference, and it was like that kid, I was like, he's fast, like compared to even all the other high schoolers. But yeah, there were so many. I've played against like Kyle Kukkonen, who's at, I think, Michigan Tech now. I don't even know. There's so many. I've probably played against so many. I don't even know too. Just yeah. Youth hockey, 60 games a year. But no, it was so much fun. Like the speed of the shots and like the hitting too. Like I didn't have to get hit, but I could always watch it. And yeah. It was so much fun. Changes the game completely. But yeah, I was just being able to play at a level, and then now kind of like seeing their names pop up here and there, it's like, wow, like good for them. Like they've gone so far, and like I got to play against them. Yeah, it's so much
fun.
It's like fun to be drafted too. Like I've seen a few, like yeah. I against like Chaz Lucius, who was here last year. And it's like, oh, that kid got drafted, or Connor Kurth, like them against Gentry. And it's so funny to be like, oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, for sure. And then now with that, because I know the men's and women's team, you guys share ice time sometimes if they're playing on an NHL sheet, and that you've gone to some of their games, they go to some of yours. Have you and Brock, have you ever mentioned to Brock Faber that did he remember playing against you or any of those other guys maybe?
We haven't really talked about it, but it's like at the same time, you like you walk in the first day and you're like, oh, hey, like it's like you're already kind of like a mutual person.
Yeah.
You don't really talk about it, but yeah, he probably remembers. I don't know. It was like Bantams that year. They were beating teams like 9-0 that year too. So maybe not, but it's funny. They were really tough.
You mentioned the checking in high school boys, the checking is obviously part of it. And you as a goalie, it might be different. I think I read an article earlier this year that you were quoted in saying that it was an adjustment when you got then to Division I women's level, because maybe the creativity for the women was different to create shots because there was maybe less of the checking. Did I read that right? And explain that to me a little bit.
Yeah, I always tell people, like, as a goalie, seeing the two different games, it feels like a different game to play. The decision making for the guys, like, naturally have to be so much faster, because if it's not, they're gonna get hurt.
Yeah.
And like you can even see on like our team, like Taylor Heisey is able to take it like coast to coast, stick handle around literally everybody, and continue to hold on to the puck and do whatever she wants and walk in and score because she's so talented. But at the same time, it's like if a guy did that, I don't know if he'd still have a head. So as a goalie in that position growing up, I was always super quick, super fast, like boom, 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 go, 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 because it was so much faster. Their puck came off the stick so much faster. Their release is completely different. And then coming into college with the girls game, I have to be way more patient. And for me, like, I kind of hated it at first because I was like, I just want to go. Like, I just want to play fast. But if I do, I'm going to give up a ton of goals because the girls are able to hold it so much longer and like literally place it wherever they want type of thing. And that was something where I definitely had to work on all summer, and holding my edges and being able to like really watch the puck in is something that I've worked on, but it is definitely a completely different game. And I know in some leagues in other countries, they're implementing checking into women's hockey, just because that's been like the biggest thing with growing the game is people don't want to watch it because they might think it's slower and not as, you know, action. So I would not be surprised in the next few years if the NCAA makes a change, because I feel like it would draw more fans in.
Yeah, interesting. I've enjoyed watching it either way, but the interesting part too, you mentioned some of the other countries. Now we have just a few minutes that I want to keep you here to ask you about your national team experience, winning some world championships, and also maybe keeping an eye ahead and looking ahead to potentially continue some of that international flavor. So tell us what you've been able to do on an international level up to this point. And obviously knowing the Frozen Four is the immediate situation this week and this weekend, but with maybe a little bit of a gander ahead to also maybe being part of Team USA down the road.
Yeah. So I definitely had an interesting experience with Team USA when I was younger. Since I played boys hockey, like I never like thought I was like, I thought it was good, but I never thought I was like that level good. So I'd go to like USA tryouts and I'd literally just play. And then at the end of the day, I'd have like a 9.6 save percentage at like against the best girls in the country and at 15 years old. So I was like, oh, like that's kind of cool. Like I didn't know any better.
Sure,
I had no idea. And so when I was 15, I ended up making the under 18 national team. And then I had, you know, I played really well throughout like their selection, like series and stuff. And I went to Worlds in Obihiro, Japan. We ended up getting silver. We lost in overtime to Canada that year. So that was a tough loss, but it was so much fun. And then the following year, I continued on that same team and we won gold in Slovakia. So, and it was overtime versus Canada. So it was like a fun set of events. And then my third year, so my like 18 year, when I was 18, was COVID. So we were supposed to go to Sweden that year, but everything got, you know, locked down and canceled. So, and yeah, hopefully, you know, down the road, like USA Hockey is very different than what it was when I started. I feel like it's like completely new staff and completely new like board of directors and stuff than when like I first started. So obviously like I don't even know that much because it's so different, but down the road I definitely do want to hopefully make the national team. And my ultimate goal in my career is to win an Olympic gold medal. So it's going to be very hard, especially like in the goaltending position. It's a little different too, because they only take three. And like right now they're like in their mid to late 20s. So like as a goalie, like you have to really stick around and like pay your dues and like play for a very long time. But ultimately I do want to win an Olympic gold medal.
Yeah, that would be such a dream come true. Well, you've got a shot to win a national championship this weekend. Do you allow your mind to think about that, or are you back in that spot where you don't think about anything right now for the week ahead?
I don't know. I think about it a little bit where it's like, oh, like this time next week, I could be a national championship, like a champion. But at the same time, it's another Tuesday. Kind of keeping that same routine. But I know the week will go by very fast. That's
well,
for sure.
It sure will. We won't keep you any longer. Get some rest. Get in your good spot. Go beat the Badgers on Friday. And let's have some fun Sunday, too. And maybe cut down that net, so to speak, and hang a banner.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, thanks so much for joining us. I know people are going to enjoy listening to learn a little bit more about your background, and certainly they'll be watching this weekend. So thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Skylar Vetter, it's episode number 62.
I hope you enjoyed getting to know University of Minnesota standout goaltender Skylar Vetter a little bit better. My thanks to her for spending some time with us on this Frozen 4 week. She's dialed in and ready to go, as you can tell. The Gophers' first game on Friday night in Duluth comes against Wisconsin. It faces off at 6 o'clock. It's the Frozen 4. The Go Gopher Podcast episode 62 is presented by Sunbelt Business Advisors and True North Mergers and Acquisitions. If you're buying or selling a business, visit sunbeltminnesota.com or TNMA.com today. We're also partnered with Affinity Plus Federal Credit Union, a locally member-owned full-service financial invested in you. You can learn more at affinityplus.org/gogophers. They also have a top-ranked mobile app. And we're also sponsored by State Farm agent Tony Hoagland. Again, I'd invite you to listen to past podcasts, and right now, please be sure to click the subscribe button to the Go Gopher Podcast. It's absolutely free to listen at any time. And please be sure to share the link to the podcast with others so they can subscribe and listen as well. We'll talk again next week.